So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
So welcome, everybody. My name's Dan Latter. Hope you're well today. That looks fine. Welcome to Property Cash Flow Show. So in this show, we're going to talk to you about property sourcing because I keep getting people coming through and asking me about property sourcing and that kind of thing. And all sorts of different ages, different levels of experience. Some have some money, some literally have no money. One time we got an email from a guy and he was listening to one of the podcasts that we did, and he had to pull his van over because he was in tears because he realized that, yes, he can actually change his life through property sourcing. And so really that's what today's show is about, how to get started with your property sourcing business. So first of all, what is property sourcing? Well, for those that don't know, it's going out and finding property deals from people who need to sell. And these might be distressed buyers, distressed sellers. They might be going through a divorce. They might be going through, there's been a death in the family, or there could be some debt, or they could be just emigrating, going over to Australia or whatever. We call these the four Ds: death, departure, divorce, and debt. Departure and death, I suppose, comes under the same thing. But departure means moving from one place to another, whereas death means moving from one realm of existence to none, I guess. So there's four different types that you can do when you're trying to find property deals. These are generally the problems that people are having and why people need to sell. So when you can find somebody who's got a reason to sell, and we call those distressed sellers, they're distressed in some way, they need a quick sale. They're likely to sell for less than the market value. And the reason why they need to sell for less than the market value is simply that they've got a time scale that they need to adhere to. It might be that they've got a death in the family, they've been left this property, and they just want the money back out. You know, there's three children, the house is worth 100 grand, it's not encumbered with a mortgage, so they just want to sell it, but they'll happily take 80 grand for it. I should have picked an easier number. They'll happily take 60 grand for it and they get £20,000 each. So that's an example of one. So the problem for most people, however, and there's a couple of problems here. The first problem is, where do you find these deals? Now, if you don't know where to find these deals, I've got a 90-video training on this. It's free of charge. You can just sign up for it. Just go to daniellatter.co.uk/property-sourcing. Now, the first bit is you've got to find the deals. And in that training, I think it's like 18 different methods of finding deals and 18 different ways of marketing you as a property sourcer to find these deals. That's the first bit. Once you've got the first bit, like, you know, someone picks up the phone and goes, yeah, my name's Bob and I'm struggling, I need to sell this property quick. What the hell do you do after that? And then, so we have this problem where people don't know what to do. And there's a bigger problem, by the way, if people go and they get the training, which is just down below, and they go through the training, but they're so nervous about having to deal with someone who's going through this big financial predicament, they end up not even returning the phone calls. And so that's where the mastermind group comes in, and if you want further coaching, you can get that. But we just got a client come out. In the next couple of days, we're going to do a lot of property sourcing technique, but we're also going to do a lot of role-playing, you know, where you've got Bob and Bob's a distressed seller and he's got Bailey's knocking at his door and he needs to sell because he's got equity, but he can't sell because the place is a mess. How do you deal with somebody like that? And that's where the role-playing will come into it as well. So now you've got someone ringing you saying, I've got this property, I need to sell it. Then you've got to negotiate with them, find out a little bit more about what's going on. You've got to build an awful lot of rapport. Then you've got to work out, what is this deal? What is this property? Is it a good deal? What does a good deal look like? What's the criteria for being a good deal? Well, is it negative equity? Is that still a good deal? Potentially. Well, how is that still a good deal? How would you know? And so that's what the training course is about. So, you know, like, you've got a city centre flat that's worth 100, but it's got a mortgage of 110. Is that a good deal? Well, could be. Could you service accommodate, serviced accommodation for that particular type of deal? Who knows? How do you do your due diligence? Do you want to do a guaranteed rent on this deal for 10 years? And if so, what do you say to the vendor who actually just wants to sell it? But at one point, they may have been a buy-to-let investor. So do we really want to sell it? Or actually, do they just want to keep hold of it? But they can't cope with tenants anymore because the last tenant ruined it. Like, there's all sorts of reasons why people need to sell. And as a landlord of 20 years, you know, I've contemplated it from time to time. I'm like, do I really want to be doing this or do I want to sell? And then I come to my senses and I realize, no, you need to keep it. And that's what property is about. You need to be keeping the property for as long as possible. And when you keep it for as long as possible, you know, the income goes like this and then it starts to go like that and then it, woof, and then it shoots up and you become financially free, which is exactly what happened to me. But how do you know if a deal is a good deal? How do you know? And most people have no idea. That's why we created the training. So now you've got a property. Now you've got a vendor who's like, yeah, we'll sell it below 20, you know, 20% below. What the hell do you do with that property? Now you've got it. You've got a negotiated deal, 20% off. It's a 100 grand house. It's now it's yours for 80. The hell do you do with that? Now you need to go and find a buyer, an investor, somebody who's looking for those kind of deals. How the hell do you find them? And that's the whole point of being the whole point why we created the training is that we wanted people to be able to see how to find a deal, how to negotiate the deal, how to sell the deal on. Where do you find those people? And effectively, you've got two customers. You've got customer A, the person that needs to sell, or maybe long-term rent, or whatever that customer needs, okay? And you've got person B, and they might be someone who wants to rent that for the long-term and service to accommodate it, or maybe they're looking for 25 or 35 or 45% below market value deals. They still exist, by the way. One came across my desk a couple of days ago, which we were looking at, and we decided not to go for all sorts of different reasons, but you know, literally a 45% off deal. The finance fee on that was like 10 grand, and it was a £200,000 property, but it was 45% off. I mean, would you pay 10 grand for a deal like that? Of course you would, because you're getting 45% off 200 grand. Why would you not do that? It's crazy, right? It's literally crazy. It needed a lot of work doing to it. And we weren't prepared to put in that work over a long period of time. That's why we didn't want to do it. And that doesn't tie into our methodology of buying properties, where we have a different method of buying properties. And it's not buying, refurbing, and doing up and holding it. That's just not what we want to do right now. It's what we used to do 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And it still works, by the way. It's just not where we are right now. So the last thing I want to be doing is refurbing deals. But where does the normal property sourcer, who just starts being a property sourcer, how do they sell deals on? What do they do? So that's what the training course will show you exactly how to do. By the way, if you've got any questions on property sourcing, I'm more than happy to answer any questions you've got on property sourcing. For most people, it's not the knowledge. Like, the knowledge is out there. The content is out there. You know, you can sign up and get the free training if you want. But for most people, it's not the training that stops them being a successful property sourcer. It's the mindset. It's the ongoing thing when you've dropped 20,000 leaflets and that hasn't worked. And, well, why hasn't it worked? What's wrong with the leaflet? And do you even know what's wrong with the leaflet? And you could go into the leaflet and you can look at the headline, because there's three aspects to a leaflet. There's a headline, there's a description, and then there's the image. Okay. And then number four, call to action. What's the call to action? And if you've not got those four things correct, your leaflet's not going to work. And you might just design a leaflet, spend half an hour doing it. And I was talking to a copywriter. He spends 2 days writing one leaflet, 2 full days writing one leaflet. And he's writing headline after headline after headline. And I speak to property sources, and they're writing one headline, and they go, that'll do. It's fine. It'll do. And we write some content, and we go, yeah, that'll do. And we get a picture of an old couple smiling. Yeah, that'll do. And it's like, does that work in your location at this time of year? For the type of property that you're looking for, with the type of demographic that you're targeting? And they're like, what? And they don't even know any of that conversation. You know, like, we've got leaflets where we've got handwritten leaflets with the word mortgage misspelled, by the way, on purpose, with crossings out and a little stick man with a smiley face on it. And they outsold the very shiny corporate leaflets. What's that about? Like, have you even tested any of this? And most people that don't test, they go, okay, yeah, property source. I'm going to be a property source. And they go on a training course, a weekend fast-track training course, and now suddenly we're a property source. And it's like, dude, you don't know what you're doing. You've got to delve into this stuff. And that's why we've created this. So if you want to download it, it's fair. It's free of charge. You might as well. It's at daniellatter.co.uk/propertysourcing. And it's like an A to Z, A to Z, A to Z of property sourcing. Do this, then do this, then put this in place, then do that in place. Don't forget about this bit of compliance. What about this type of training? Here's 8 different types of sales techniques that will get you into, you know, that you can practice and that you have to practice with other people. So, you know, do you want to go with that, man? If I could do this and do this, would that be a good enough deal for you? That's a trial close. There's all sorts of different ways of doing it. So we've taken the last 20 years' experience. I don't think there's, other than one, I don't think there's been a property that I've paid full price on. I think there's been one, actually. Well, there's definitely one, but I don't think there's any more than that. Maybe 2, I'm trying to think. But all of my properties are basically below market value, apart from this one, which I really regret even buying. It's in negative equity now. I just overspent on it. It's stupid. I was moving into it and it was, you know, the dream. It's not when you buy a Porsche 911, you know, because it's a personal thing. And I paid full price for that thing as well. And it was a stupid thing. You should negotiate $5,000 off. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. But you need to know how to do this. And most people don't know how to do this. And it's crazy. In 2019, paying all this money to go out on various training courses when it's there free of charge for you in a condensed fashion. Each video is like 2 or 3 minutes long. You can dip in and dip out. And I've got this problem on this. I need to learn this bit. So you can go in, you can learn that bit, and then you can implement that into what you're doing. And by the way, if you've got any questions on property sourcing, more than happy to answer these. We had a client, for example, and this was when I first started coaching like 10 years ago on property. And his problem was that he couldn't actually answer the phone call from the person who was in a situation and they needed help. And he couldn't answer the call and he couldn't return the call because he was just so goddamn nervous about, you know, what if they ask him a question and he doesn't know the answer to it. And so we did a lot of role play and that kind of thing. But his presenting problem was his leaflet designer was taking 6 weeks. I'm like, just to design your leaflets, not even gotten printed, ready for dropping yet. You just got a problem on design. Yeah, I don't understand why. And the problem was him. It's because he didn't want the phone call coming through from somebody asking him a question he didn't know the answer to. So he was putting all these obstacles in his way. So we actually resolved that through the role play. And then he got his leaflets printed like the following week and he got them dropped the week after that. And then he got his first deal the week after that. And it's like, that's how quick it can actually happen. But unless you actually understand you and what's going on for you, unless you understand your psychological makeup, and this bit is really important. It's a bit that nobody ever talked about. Maybe we'll talk about this more on Friday, about your psychological makeup. Why are some people successful? This is my problem with socialism, okay? You could give 2 people £1 million, and the first person will turn that £1 million into 10 million over 10 years. And the second person, after 10 years, they're back to zero and they need help again. And why is that? Well, it's because this person, you know, we talk about the shell and their identity. And this person has a positive mental attitude and different values. You know, you make money in this world and that's how you do it. And you land on your own 2 feet and you stand or fall by what you do. Stuff that my dad used to drill into me. Or they read a lot. Or they watch podcasts, listen to podcasts or watch videos. And they learn how to invest that money. And then you have this person and they go, you know, they get told, well, you might get knocked down by a bus tomorrow. And so they spend it in case they get knocked down by a bus tomorrow. And I can guarantee there's nobody watching this or listening to this who's been knocked down by a bus. It's a very rare event to happen, but it's a thing that people say. Or, oh, you can't take it with you. Or, oh, that's greedy. Having all that money is greedy. And that's why we get rid of it. And it's the school system. You know, we live in this world where having money is like a really negative thing. You want to be a property sourcer, taking people's properties from them when they're in trouble? No, that's not what we do. We want to help those people. We use the word ecological. Is it good for me, good for them, good for everyone, good for the planet? That's where my ethics come from. Is it ecological? Is it good for them? And I was just talking to a client who's just come out this morning for a couple of days' work. And we were talking about how we did one house. You know, she had a tooth missing. The front door was smashed in. The head size holes all around the house. And I think on this deal, we got like 48% discount. People are like, do you not feel guilty about that? I'm like, are you kidding me? We completed on that deal in, I think, 10 or 11 days. We saved that woman's life. Do you know what I mean? Well, no, I think you're taking advantage. Yeah. Let's not buy that house, okay? And let's leave her in that situation, getting the crap kicked out of her. That's much more ethical. That's crazy. It just doesn't even make sense to me. Why would we do that? Good for us, good for them, good for her. Hell yes, good for him. Yeah, it stopped him going to prison for the rest of his life as well. He actually ended up on Jeremy Kyle. He phoned me up about 3 weeks after we completed. And he said, you never guess where I am. I'm like, Jeremy Kyle. I'm like, are you in the audience? Knowing he was going to be going on stage. And it was, I don't think the program ever aired, by the way. But, you know, it's just like, is it ethical? Is it ecological? Is it good for us? Good for them? Good for people that we're helping? And if you can change that around from, oh, I'm going to make $3,000 on this deal. If you can get rid of that and put that to one side for a moment and turn it into, actually, do you know what? Can I help this person? Can I get this person to where they want to get to? Do the numbers work that I can make that happen? So let's say it's $100,000 property and it's a $70,000 mortgage. And you go, okay, so have you got any other debt? Yeah, I've got this $5,000 here. And I've got $300 on this store card. Okay. Well, look, we can buy the house for $70,000, but I'm uncomfortable with this $5,000 credit card and this $300 store card. What are you going to do about those? Well, I don't know. I'll just have to find a way. That makes me uncomfortable. How about this? How about we buy your house for $75,300? We'll pay your legal fees as well. Now you pay off your mortgage, then we will pay off your credit card for you, and we will also pay £300 off your store card. Now listen to the language. It's not, we're going to give you £5,300 extra. We're going to put it into the contract. So your solicitor pays his credit card down. Your solicitor pays his store card down, and of course the mortgage that's outstanding. Now that is an ecological deal. And then it's like, where are you going to go? What's going to happen to you when you sell this house and you have to move out? Well, I'm going to move back to my mum and dad. Great. Well, I haven't got anywhere to live. I've not got a deposit. Okay, what can we do about a deposit? Is there something that we can do to help you find a place to move to? Like, that's really important to me. Making money, I was going to say making money is the easiest bit, and I don't want to say that because making money is hard. It's really hard. Anyone who's gone on a weekend course, oh, you'll be a millionaire by this time next week, it's bullshit. It's really fucking hard making money. It's really hard. But you have to be ecological about the way in which we make money. And it really annoys me. We were a charity event, not a charity, we were a property sourcing event, which is going back about 15 years, about 12 years actually. We were at this event, and this guy said, yeah, the day before we exchange contracts, I say, oh, there's a problem. And, you know, I can only give you $10,000 less than I was going to give you in the first place. And I leant over to my mate Dave, and I'm like, this is why we don't deal with people like this. And he was like, sorry, what was that at the back? And I'm like, oh, nothing. No, what was it? You know, you can share with everyone. I'm like, you really want me to say this? I said, that's highly unethical. It's not good for me. It's not good for them. It's not good for the planet. It's not good for the people that you're hurting. You're screwing people over. And then obviously he proceeded to tell me about all his charity work that he does, which I thought was quite funny. But it's this idea about being ethical in what we do and about being ecological. Is it good for me, good for you, good for them, good for planet? They're the four things that you need to be running this deal through. The 48%, was it good for me, good for them? Absolutely. It was the place was a tip. It was one of those places where you walk in and they've got dog poo on the carpet. It was one of those kind of places. Do you know what I mean? Needed an awful lot of work. So the reason why we had to get a discount was that the property was in such a bad condition. It's just one of the things that we had to do. It's, you know, if we wanted this deal, it's what we had to do. And at the time, I was happy doing refurbs, just on my way of coming out of doing refurbs, actually. But we did it because we needed to do this deal, and we completed very, very quickly. And then we got the builders in, we refurbed it, we refinanced it, and then we've still got our property to this day. You're like 12 years on, 14 years on, however long that happened to be. But we only got that deal because we were concerned about the people involved and being ethical and ecological about how you're sourcing your deals and how you're treating the person that's going through their predicament. To you, you're making $3,000 on a property sourcing deal. To them, they're losing their family home that they might have lived in for 4 years. That's a massive upheaval. And being ethical and ecological about that is really important. I don't know why I'm rattling on about being ecological. It should be like the de facto standard. I'm a property sourcer, but I'm a dodgy property sourcer. Like, how many times do you think people who think like that, how long do you think they're going to be a property sourcer for? Not long. It's not worth it. Why would you be that person? Is that the person you want to be in your old age when you're telling your kids on the 48% deal, you know, but we screwed them over and we got 48% off? It's crazy. Or do you want to go, actually, do you know what? We had to do that deal because if we didn't, I think she'd be probably leaving a house in a box, not a cardboard box, like a coffin, you know? It's really important for us to do that. And so you, when you're going through and when you're speaking to people, and they're embarrassed, by the way, because they've got themselves into this predicament where maybe they can't afford the mortgage and they're 3 months in arrears and they don't even want to tell you, even though you can help them and you've got to coax it out of them, they don't want to tell you they're 3 months in arrears because that's really, really embarrassing for some people. For a lot of people, I'm guessing, it's embarrassing, but it's embarrassing more or less for some people, depending, right? But you've got to coax that information out of them. And it's like, so are you up to date with your mortgage? Well, I might be a little bit behind. Okay, that's okay. That happens. We deal with people all day long that are behind in their mortgages. It's quite a common thing, actually. It makes them feel a little bit better about the fact that they're in arrears. So I just need to know so we can help you solve this problem. How far in arrears? Well, I'm a couple of months. So is that 2 months or 3 months? It's 3 months. Okay. So if you're 3 months in arrears, have you just gone 3 months in arrears or are you coming up? I'm coming up to 3 months. Okay, because when you get to 3 months, the bank going to start repossession on this property. But we can stop that if we can find a deal for you. But we've got to know all the data will help us work out what the deal's going to be for you. So you've got $100,000 property. How much is your mortgage? $70,000. Okay. How much is the mortgage payments? £200 a month. And you're behind £600. Got it. Okay. That's fine. Now, have you got any other debts that you're behind on as well? I've got this credit card. Okay. How much is that? That's £2,000. And anything else? I've got my car loan. Okay. How much is that? £1,000. Okay. So now we're starting to build a picture up of what we can do with this person to help them. That's exactly what we should be doing, is building up a picture to help them, not help you. That's not what we said. That's not how it works, to help them. That's the whole purpose. And now this is a fact finding. In order for you to be able to recommend a particular path that's going to resolve their situation, first you have to diagnose incomplete, fully, everything that's going on in their life. So what else is going on? Are you married? You're single? No, I am married, but I'm going through a separation. Got it. That's the answers to why they're now. So I've got it. And I lost my job. Got it. Okay. So hey, let me ask you a question, then. I'm assuming then that you missed the mortgage payments, but at the same time you lost your job. You lost your job because of the divorce and the separation, all that kind of thing. Stressful. I get all that. Okay. Where are you going to live if we can find a solution for you? Like, I want to know, where's this guy going? Is he going to go and live on the streets? Is he going back to his mum and dad's? Is he couch surfing? What is this guy's situation? Okay, so you're going back to mom and dad's. Perfect. I understand that now. It's helping me build up a picture. So what about, what's the job situation like? Like, are you applying for jobs? What were you doing before? I'm a delivery driver. Okay, delivery driver. Got it. Not highly skilled, is it? You know, lots of people can be delivery drivers. What have you done to find yourself another job? Like, people will disagree with this. And we go, well, hang on a minute. You're not best social worker. You're right, I'm not. But if I don't ask these questions, am I being ecological? Am I being ethical to the person who's in one of the biggest problems they've ever been in their life and will ever face in their life, potentially? And what's the risk of suicide here? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you think that's important to find out? You know, you don't come out and ask, okay, question 68, are you suicidal? Are you looking to die in the next 2 weeks before we complete this deal? Do you know what I mean? You can't ask it like that. But you want to find out, where's this guy's mental health? Is he thinking he's going to sell the house and then top himself? Like, we touch on these because these are ethical considerations when we want to help this guy get the best deal for his house. All of this is really, really important. Nobody ever talks about this stuff. It drives me insane. You know, World Mental Health Day, and yet we still don't let dads see the kids, me included. So it drives me insane. We talk about mental health, and yet we don't talk about mental health. Oh, my door's always open, my kettle's always on. Bollocks. Here we are trying to screw someone down to get a BMV deal so we can make £3,000 on a deal, but we care about mental health. It's hypocritical for people to do that. And this is why it's really, really important that when you're asking these questions, and you have to build a lot of rapport when you're speaking to people, is that you are being very ecological with the way that you're looking to buy this house. Don't get me wrong, you're in this business to buy the house or to package the house and sell it on to somebody else. That's how you make your money. But along the way, on the journey to you getting wealthy, you can be a decent human being. Now, I know, by the way, the people watching this, I'm not on about you. I'm on about all those other people. Like, am I on about you? I don't know. I don't know who's watching. But you've got to be ethical on what you're doing here. So look, does this mean that this deal might fall through? Well, okay, I've got this car loan of 10 grand and I've got this property worth 100 with an £80,000 mortgage, and I've got two credit cards at £5,000 each. And then you're like, well, you've got a problem, dude. You've got a 100 grand house, but you can't sell because you've got doors ripped off, and you know, you've got dog poo on the carpet, and you know, it needs work doing to it. You've got 80 grand mortgage, you've got a 10 grand loan, and you've got 2 5-grand credit cards. You know, you can sell the house for 100, you owe 100, I can't help you because I can't make anything on it. Are there some other considerations that you could take into account? But I tell you what, how about this? We could do a lease option on this property for you. Do you know what a lease option is? And they go, no. And you go, okay, a lease option is, how about this? How about I agree to rent this place from you? I'll pay down your arrears. We'll come in, we'll put new carpets in. You've got to move out, but we'll put new carpets in. We'll repair all the work. And we'll just rent it from you for the next 10 years. How about that? And you know, this 100 grand house, how about we give you 110,000 for it in 10 years' time? If it's worth, you know, if it's worth us doing that. We might not do that. We might just walk away and give you the keys. But now you're negotiating for a lease option right here, or an extended delayed completion, which on that circumstance you might not want to do, because you know, with an EDC, you have to complete, otherwise you're in breach of contract, they can sue you, that kind of thing. But definitely on a lease option, or maybe just a guaranteed rent where they sign a contract for 7 years and you rent it from them. So you've got options there. You've got opportunities there to do something out of this deal, even though they're still in the crap, by the way. They still owe 70 grand, 80 grand on the mortgage, but that's fine. They still owe 5 grand credit cards. You need to help them resolve that in some way. And there are things that you can do to help them with that. And then what's the 10 grand car loan for? You're struggling paying your mortgage. You haven't got a job and you've got a 10 grand car loan. How much is your car worth? 10. Sell the damn thing then. Do you need a car for if you've not got a job anyway? Well, I might get a job. But you haven't got a job. Now, when you get a job, then fix that. But in the meantime, and by the way, you've got to be careful here because you can't give financial advice because you're not authorized to give financial advice. So you have to be really, really careful here. By the way, if you guys have any comments on this, then please let me know. I'm more than interested to listen to this. Read any comments that you've got. But you can't give financial advice. And so, like, is this a grey area? For sure. Is your lines crossed both ways? For sure. So, like, you know, the way I get around it is, you know, if I got these two credit cards, first of all, you need to go out and get a job. But like, you know, so bottom line, it doesn't matter what the job is. Next bit is, once you've got a job, you've got to get rid of this debt, dude. Debt's going to kill you in the long term. It's like kryptonite around your neck. And by the way, if you're watching or listening to this, I am talking to you here as well. You've got to get rid of your debt. Stop getting car loans. The only time you need a car loan is when you've got assets but put money in your pocket. So I'm thinking about the Tesla Cybertruck. And I probably today or tomorrow, I'm probably going to put the £100 deposit down. And I was reading, it's like $500 a month or $1,000 a month. Most people shouldn't be putting that down. The only time you should be putting that down is when you've got an asset that generates at least $1,000, puts money in your pocket, and so the truck's paying for itself through the asset. You shouldn't be buying stuff on credit that you then have to go to work for in order to fulfill the credit repayments that you're having to make. So if you've got credit cards and you've got a job, you need to pay the credit cards off. And if you've got car loans and you've got a job, you need to pay the car loan down, maybe sell the car and get into a cheap car. I was driving a Nissan X-Trail, £1,000 car, loved that car, by the way, very efficient, four-wheel drive for the snow, stick a sofa in the back if you're moving stuff to the tip. Great, £1,000, cheap to run, one of the cheapest vehicles to run, I know, because my wife did all the data on it when she was buying hers. You know, why are you driving around in a 10 grand car? You've got to get rid of this debt. These are the same conversations I would be having with these people, but before I can have any of these conversations, I've got to start building up a lot of rapport. And when I start building up a lot of rapport, I mean, you can joke about anything. This is why comedians fail on stage, is because they've not built up enough rapport to go for that joke, you know, that could be perceived as being a bit off. Building up rapport, you can ask anybody anything once you've got rapport. You ask about their health, their sex life, all sorts of things. I'm not saying you do this, by the way. But once you build up enough rapport, it's like with your mates, you can say things you couldn't say out in public, because in public, you haven't got rapport with the public, right? So when you're going out and you're speaking to people who've got properties, you've got to build rapport. One way or another, you've got to find a way of building rapport. Golf trophies on the mantelpiece. Oh, you like golf? Do you know what? I've never, ever got into golf. I don't know why that is. But I understand it's really relaxing. Is that true? Is that what golf? Oh yeah, golf. I found golf really, but now you're building rapport. Now you're getting them to talk about themselves. Now they're starting to open up a little bit. And then there's a picture of kids. Oh wow, you got how old are these then? Or when was this taken? Or what school did they go to? Or where are these two now? Oh well, one's in Australia and one lives in Leicester. I don't get to see him. Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? When was the last time you spoke to him? Oh, a year ago. We just don't keep in touch as much as we should do. Why don't you get on the phone? We'd probably love to hear from you. Send them a postcard or a letter or a picture or a birthday card. Build rapport. It's just, that's what it's about. And then when you've built enough rapport, you can go, okay, so great. Thanks for meeting with me today, John. My job today is to work out how I can help you. So I understand about your kids. I understand about your golf and all that, but that's not going to help me help you. Let's talk about numbers on this property. So what did you buy it for? How long you had it? And like, not in an interrogative kind of way. You want to be building lots of rapport while doing this. Okay, and what's your mortgage on it? What do you owe on it? Okay, got that. And is it a repayment or an interest only? You don't know. Okay, that's fine. How much are your monthly payments? 650 quid on a 70 grand? Sounds like that's interest only. Let's try and dig out your mortgage statements. That will help. And then when we've got your mortgage statements, maybe let's find out what's interest only and what's repayment part. And by the way, you can't suggest to the client, oh, why don't you move it on to interest only? You can't do that because now you're giving financial advice. You cannot do that. What you can say, and if you're a financial advisor, you can correct me on this, is actually mine are on interest only. Yeah, you can have interest only or you can have repayment. I put mine on interest only because I'm not interested right now in paying down the mortgage. It means the payments are lower. So, you know, if I'm going through a difficult point, then maybe you can do that too. I wouldn't even say you can do that too. Maybe like, because I think that's financial advice. Yeah, so that's what I do. It's up to you what you want to do, right? So you've got all these different things that you can do, but you've got to start building up as much rapport as possible with the person. Okay, so now I understand the property. I understand what you've got. You've got 12 years left. You know, what other debts have you got? Like, imagine going up to a stranger. What credit card you got? What loans you got? They're never going to tell you. You've got to build up enough rapport. When you build up enough rapport, then you can ask them all sorts of stuff that's relevant to you getting this deal through. So I think that'll do us for today. All this stuff is all in the property sourcing training. You guys just need to go and sign up for that. It is free of charge. Whether we leave it free of charge, who knows? But for now, it's free of charge. It's ecological. Back to using that word. Good for me, good for you, good for planet, good for them, good for everyone. People can get access to the data that they need. I got kind of fed up of going, if I only just knew how to be a property sourcer, then I could be wealthy. And, well, you've got no excuse now. It's all there. And now it's there. Guess what? People sign up and they do the first couple of videos. And I can see they tag on to some of the videos. And then that's it. And I speak to them. Have you done that bit? No, I've not done it. Oh, I've been busy. It's crazy. There's no power in the content anymore. There's power in doing. That's where you need to do it. Anyway, go sign up. Go take a look. Hope that's useful for you. We will speak to you on Friday. And we're going to talk about mindset. If you've got any questions then, let me know. And we'll speak to you then. My name is Dan Latter.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.